Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Coming your way today from Piggy's Market here in South Amherst, shining the spotlight on the Firelands and having a great time doing it. Time now for us to head back to the hotline as we welcome in Fox 8's very own John Telich on the Budweiser's From the Sidelines segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. JT, always great to catch up with you, my friend. How are you today?
It is a beautiful day. It's a fall day. Let's enjoy it. And good to talk to you, Bull. Let's see what these brownies can do this week.
Well, a tall order ahead for sure.
No question. It is.
No question.
It's very difficult.
Yeah, it'll be a tough test, no doubt about that, and we'll come around to the matchup here in just a couple of moments. But some other things I want to hit on first before we get into Sunday's game against the Patriots. Boy, Kareem Hunt returning to practice on Monday certainly gives fans at least a little bit of hope for that Week 10 return. And, boy, if nothing else, you know, you expect that his presence in the backfield is something that should really get Browns fans excited.
I really think it will, and that's kind of like, you know, just seeing him at practice on Monday and knowing that, you know, he'll have a couple of weeks to kind of get up to speed and then officially be allowed to return to the team and play on Week 10. There's just so many different things that he does well, and obviously the big problem will be, you know, how Freddie can work him alongside Chubb, or one without the other, or who's going to catch more passes, or it gives you more options to run your offense when you have a player that's so multi-talented like Kareem showed himself to be with the Kansas City Chiefs. In fact, I think you can go back to last year after Kareem was suspended. I think he played 11 games, so missed the final five. You could look at their offensive production and see it took just a little bit of a dip there because they didn't have someone with his talents in their lineup. So now you have one of those people that you can insert into your offense, and obviously the possibilities are endless. We'll see if they actually become that.
Well, and the hope is that the Browns will have the offensive line situation figured out by then as well. And as of the recording of this interview here, we're not quite sure who's going to be on that offensive line. We don't know how much that could change come Sunday. You know, there are some trade rumors out there as well. And I want to open this up to you, JT, not only to talk about that situation, but also to discuss the ripple effect that this line has had, not only from the idea of protecting Baker Mayfield and providing some running lanes for the backs to run through, but also the play calling for Freddie Kitchens as well.
Yeah, I absolutely think that it's been a difficult thing for him to deal with because he just doesn't have the whole field to play with. I don't think you have the offense of a year ago where Baker felt comfortable to take deeper drops and to throw that stretch pass that would kind of, you know, take the top off of the defense. He completes some long balls, I remember last year, to Breshad Perriman. Obviously some deep balls to Juice Landry. And so that is really not there. He's got the people that can go get it, but I just don't know if the confidence is there in the line for him to take those deeper drops and have that extra half second or even full second that what it would take to have someone open and to deliver the football to him. And so that cuts down on some of the options that Freddie has. And I know Freddie's been under a lot of heat for his play calling and also the clock management and going for it on fourth and nine with a draw play and all that type of stuff. But it gives them more options. And I think when you're a coach and you're going up against a team that's so talented like, you know, the New England Patriots or any team for that matter, you've got to have as many options as possible in your bag of tricks, and then that would obviously give them more things to worry about and to game plan for. That a lot of times that game planning for specific things, those plays never occur, but yet your attention to detail on other areas of your offense can make you a little bit more explosive. So I think that's one of the ripple effects, if you will, of the offensive line being in the state that it is in right now, and the offense not totally blowing up like we expected it to.
Well, this Sunday, they will certainly be tested, that line, by an incredible Patriots defense. And boy, is this defense on fire right now. Sure, they're coming off a game where they annihilated the Jets, and the Jets don't exactly have the greatest of offenses, but they've done this to some pretty good teams this year. And what this Patriot defense also has a little bit of Browns DNA in it, does it not?
Yeah, it does. There's three guys that start on their defense that play significant time for them that you saw within the last couple of years here in Cleveland. Danny Shelton's on the defensive line. McCourty's one of the defensive backs. And, of course, Jamie Collins, who was here and went back to New England from whence he came. They're all playing very good football. And I think it's because of a lot of things. You can just say it's the culture. It's being in an organization that expects you to do your job, do it to the best of your ability, cut out all the other BS that is around you, the white noise, whatever might be there to kind of intrude on your thoughts and your work each day doing your craft. And that's the mindset that they have in that building that Belichick has fostered and that the New England Patriots are all about. And I think a big word, in fact, Freddie this morning in his news conference was using that word trust. And he was being asked about, you know, just various aspects of his football team and used that word trust. And I think that's a huge word that people, you know, it's just a five-letter word and doesn't sound like it's that big of a deal. But it really goes so far into having a football team that is very good at what they do. You trust in your teammates to do their job. You just do yours. You trust them. And the Patriots do that so well. I think teams that are fledgling teams or teams that don't have it together as of yet, and you could put the Browns in that category because they've got great talent, but the record certainly is not, you are what your record is, and they haven't shown that, and there's probably issues from some guys about that trust factor. You know, we could say that Baker has a little bit of a trust issue per se with his offensive line. He'll never say it, but I think we could, you know, maybe surmise that bowl that maybe that's the case. So that's what it all goes back to, I think, you know, doing your job and then that trust factor.
Well, the Patriots do a lot of things well. We've talked a lot about their defense, and they're going to have a new receiver at their disposal. They traded yesterday for Mohamed Sanu. And this offensive line is pretty intriguing also because you look across that line, you don't see many high picks in that front five either.
No, you don't. And, of course, that's by virtue of having a people that are plugged into a system that's been the same kind of a system for a long time with the same people kind of teaching it each and every day and running it in practice and running it in games and having the best quarterback in the game and perhaps the greatest of all time, you can have situations where a lot of your receivers aren't great players. And you're talking about the offensive line bowl. You have one guy, their left tackle. He's now with his ninth team. And so, you know, usually the greats like the Joe Thomases, they're in one organization and they're there for their whole career. This guy's with his ninth team. And everybody else on that offensive line is either a third rounder or later. And they find a way to get it done. And I think what they do well in New England is every week it's a different game plan. It's a different way to attack. They kind of change the colors of, you know, they're a chameleon, and they change their colors vis-a-vis who they're facing that week. And, you know, if it takes quick drops, quick throws, they will do that because maybe their offensive line isn't the greatest in the National Football League. They'll do those types of things. And then, you know, we can talk about their defense. Their defense, obviously, that's they're having a phenomenal year there.
No question about it. Again, we're talking with Fox 8's very own John Telich on the Budweiser's From the Sidelines segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. Well, this has come up in conversation throughout the week, and because the Patriots are so darn good, sometimes this gets ignored, although Bill Belichick didn't ignore this a couple of days ago. You think the Patriots playing in a short week and the Browns coming off of a bye week gives the Browns any kind of advantage?
Well, I think obviously the rest factor. Everybody's, you know, got a fresher outlook on how to attack their jobs. I'm speaking to the people in Berea, and I think that's a good thing. Anybody banged up or bruised or those types of things, they've had a chance to heal up, including Baker with his issues. So I think that's all good. And I there are some aspects to the whole realm of playing on a Monday night and then having to travel, though it's not a far trip, but still travel and play they're not traveling, I'm sorry, they're the home team, but you're playing on a Monday night, and then you're playing on the next that next Sunday. There is a little bit of a tighter week for you to work with and work on the specifics of your offense and the specifics of your defense. So you could use that and say, all right, maybe a little bit of help for the Browns. But then I go back to this bowl. These guys, I think they've won 17 straight at home, the Patriots. And so they're very familiar with that stadium. They're very comfortable playing in front of their home fans. Obviously, they've got the same people in those positions that I mentioned before for a long time. So that degree of comfortability is quite high. So maybe that negates a little bit of that, you know, the Browns having a little bit of rest and the Patriots slightly banged up from playing on a Monday night. I guess we'll have to see, because obviously the only thing that matters is 4:25 p.m. on Sunday afternoon.
Going to be interesting to see if that does indeed play a factor in all this. But then again, Bill Belichick is a guy who's certainly been down that road many, many times before. Well,
yes.
The whole pants situation with Odell Beckham Jr. has kind of taken on a life of its own this week. He was fined somewhere in the area of $14,000 for not having the knee pads, I believe, down far enough. Seems a little bit silly, but then again, the NFL does have rules for a reason. Where do you come out on this pants violation?
Well, I just think it's another distraction. People get fined every week across the league for various things. And in the age we live in, you know, people are they're generating their own news. OBJ is the one that put this in front of the world and showed the letter, he posted the letter that he got from the league about his pants. And then yesterday at this bowling event, it was a nice event for kids from the Canton City Schools were able to come up here to Brookgate Lanes in Brook Park and roll some balls with OBJ and be rewarded for their stay in school, their perfect attendance. That's a great thing, and that was cool he was taking part with that. But, you know, it was also a platform where he was obviously asked about the $14,000 fine, and he's never shy when it comes to, you know, speaking about how the league has been coming down on him, whether it's a visor or a $700,000 watch or a pair of pants that don't go all the way down to the knees. And, you know, I get that it seems very picayune-ish on the NFL's part. I saw a snap photo of Juice Landry in that same game. He had his pants almost in the exact same way that OBJ did, but it always seems like these things, you know, OBJ attracts these types of infractions. If I'm a football player, I would just want to adhere to the uniform as best as possible. And but it says you cover your knees and you have no skin exposed for the most part, then I would try to adhere to it. But I don't think you just need to be, you know, fighting these mini skirmishes with the NFL. There are other ways to expend your energy.
One more Browns topic here, my friend, that we'll get into the high school football scene.
Yeah.
Denzel Ward, great when he plays, but of course it's been a struggle to keep him on the field. They are really going to need him. Anytime you take on a Tom Brady, you need all the tools at your disposal. Most likely, Denzel Ward expected to be back on Sunday. What are you hearing about Denzel Ward and the role he will play?
Well, nothing's official, and so we'll see how it ends up this week, but it certainly points towards that. Haven't heard of any, you know, injuries through the bye, or if anybody, you know, stepped on an acorn the wrong way and twisted their ankle. I mean, that type of stuff can happen too. But by all indications, you will see him out there, and, you know, it gives them options if they choose to play some press coverage, if they want to go zone, whatever they want to do. This kid's got great ability to stay with receivers and close super fast on the football. And so if he's able to get the green light, which we expect that to be, that can only help matters for the Browns on Sunday. So you'd have to look forward to having him out there and helping out the defensive backfield.
Absolutely. And again, anytime you take on a freight train like the Patriots, you need all the tools at your disposal. Well,
you do.
We are at week 9, my friend, in the high school football season. This fall is flying by, and a lot of really interesting matchups on Friday night. You know, of course, out here on the west side of things, Avon Olmsted Falls is one of the marquee matchups, and I know a lot of folks are voting on that right now at Fox 8. You guys will be all over the place. This week 9 has some really great matchups.
Well, I think the big schools, there's a great matchup with Mentor and Euclid. That's at the JTO in Mentor. And they have just been a machine this year. And I'm speaking, of course, about Mentor. And Euclid has phenomenal talent. And they're now, you know, they have one loss on the season. And they've had a great, great year to date. It's going to take them to play a full football game all the way through, every second of, you know, the expanded time on the game to play with a team like Mentor, because Mentor has, you know, they're rolling up 30, 40 some points a game, and they've got such good kids at all the skill positions, whether it's Floria going out and getting it, or Kip, their quarterback, or they've got great young talent on the defensive line. They have, of course, you know, the running back Trouble. This is a really, really good team. And they also have the factor of Triv coaching his final season. And I think that is certainly galvanizing them to win one for the Triv, as it were. And so, you know, I would give the edge. I'm a Euclid guy. I graduated from Euclid High School. But I would give the edge to Mentor in this game. But we'll see what happens. It's going to be a gorgeous night for high school football. It's going to be crisp and cool. And we're really looking forward to seeing how that comes out. You've got other teams like Mayfield trying to keep their record intact. And, you know, we're going down into Stark County with so many good matchups with Perry on the football field. I think it's McKinley and Massillon Perry. And so, you know, a lot of games to keep track of. We're excited about it. We will be on pretty late on Friday night, by the way, because Friday night we have game 3 of the World Series that will take place, obviously, in D.C., and the only way we would not be late would be if the baseball game were, you know, postponed due to weather. And I think we're looking at some crisp weather in the nation's capital for game 3 of the World Series. So it'll be a late night, but obviously it's so much fun to get out there and cover all these teams.
Yeah, a late night and a fun night, and I'm sure you'll have a late night and a fun night that following week when some of the playoff pictures really begin to clear up at the end of Week 10, 1 week from this coming Friday. JT, before we let you go, my friend, I understand you're going to be serving drinks for a little bit at Punch Bowl Social in downtown Cleveland next Tuesday.
Yes, the great folks that are connected with Our Lady of the Wayside have and Gerard Cherry is kind of like the ringleader and has been like the celebrity chairman, if you will, and captain, and has got a lot of us folks in the media, and look forward to being down there. You know, obviously, I have no skills whatsoever serving drinks. I couldn't pour a beer. In fact, Andre Knott has an event in November that I did last year, and that entailed me just pretty much pouring beer from, you know, the tap and the keg, and I was butchering that dog. So if you're down there and you really want a legit drink, you can ask me, but I'm definitely relaying the information to someone that can make it the right way. But it's for a great cause, Our Lady of the Wayside.
It is, Our Lady of the Wayside. It's going to be a lot of fun on Tuesday. JT, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time, and we look forward to doing this again next week.
All right, talk to you then, both. Have a good one, bud.
Thank you. You do the same. Again, that's Fox 8's very own John Telich joining us on the Budweiser's From the Sidelines segment presented by Northridgeville Convenience Sunoco. Let's take a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I return with more after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.